Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm joined again at our still virtual table by Cheryl Lindemann and Maricela Garza.
Good morning.
Hey, ladies.
Hi there.
Really looking like spring. It's starting to feel like the world's coming alive, hopefully in a healthy way that we will eventually get back to whatever the new normal is. But it's, you know, it's April. It is National Poetry Month. We can't let that get by without spending some time on it.
Nope.
So that's going to be a good chunk of our discussion today. But we also have some other things that we wanted to just, you know, spend a little time talking about as well. But how is everybody doing?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty glad.
Getting out.
We've had some nice warm days, although not necessarily this week.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, actually, we managed to fit most of the seasons into this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. The flowers on the porch are looking a little bit confused.
Yes.
A little sad. They got frostbit, and now today they're like, okay, that's another day. Where I, yeah. They look all wilted, but hopefully they'll come back. We'll see. Right.
Well, the grass is actually looking ready for lawnmower. I'm like, yes. Wow.
Oh,
yeah. And the green.
But yeah, I've been happy to get out more. And
yes,
you know, there's a part, it's an easy lead in. It's that beauty of things coming back alive and things like that. This is one of the things that drew me to poetry first. But let's get started there.
Okay.
Go ahead. Cheryl, you wanted to kick us off.
Yeah, that sounds great. So it's April, it's National Poetry Month, and it's actually the 25th annual celebration of the event that is formally called National Poetry Month. It was launched in 1996. So it's kind of an exciting year to celebrate, and, poets.org features a lot of wonderful activities for teachers, children, for everybody. They offer the poem a day, emails. You can also, their social media pages are filled with poems, a new poem a day. One of the other really nice resources on there I wanted to point out to our listeners, if they already aren't users of this, are just some of the recordings that they have of poets reading their poems. It's just like a different experience, to read it and then to hear it and to hear it in that voice of the poet. So, yeah, so that's been really fun. I've done that with a lot of the things that I'm going to use today. And it just added a dimension and a piece of understanding to it. Also some really great podcasts. And one of the things I struggle with is I was not an English major. I am not a poet, but I am a lover of poetry, but in this very lay librarian poetry way. You know, I'm not. You can go on these podcasts and they really delve into the form and the structure, and it's just fascinating. And I learn from them, but that's not where I come at it from, but that's okay. You know, and I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit today. It's just some people really don't like poetry. And I think that there's poetry for everybody. You know,
yes.
And sometimes I pick up collections and there's just an accessibility issue for me, but for the next person, this could be fine, right? So it seems more subjective in some ways than other pieces of literature.
It's more personal.
It really is.
It's just,
yeah. And the voice is stronger to me with poetry. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I like mm-hmm. about it. So sometimes it's like you really can open up another world and say, okay, I can't relate to this. I've never experienced this before, but wow. Mm-hmm. Now I'm experiencing this through you and through your words. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm going to put in the show notes a little video by Lucille Clifton on what poetry is. And it's just really brief. And it talks about, you know, kind of just what we're getting at here. And one of the things she said is poetry is really trying to come to peace with the world. Mm. The poet is trying to do. And we're bringing ourselves into it. And that's the interesting piece. And I think for people who don't like poetry and are really intimidated by it, just know that if you read the poem and you don't get the whole poem, that's okay. That's not necessarily what it's about. You may get pieces of it. It could be the imagery that just pulls you out of yourself. Mm-hmm. Pulls you.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You know, like pulls you into something through someone else's eyes or through your own life that brings you into your own memory. So just kind of, it's so magical really. So for the pieces that I picked today, I have four four poetry collections today, and I'll do the first two right now. And they're all very different. The first one is called She Had Some Horses, Poems by Joy Harjo. This is actually Joy Harjo, who's our poet laureate for the third year in a row. This is her second collection, the only one that remains actually published from her earliest collections. And the poem She Had Some Horses is one of those poems that you may see a lot. And interestingly, it's one of those poems that's featured where only the last lines are often featured, to the point where I thought that was the whole poem for a long time. And those lines are, she had some horses. She had some horses she loved. She had some horses she hated. Those were the same horses, which is incredible, right? But then you go back and realize it's quite a long poem and it goes into a lot more than that. So I wanted to pick up this collection for a long time, and I did. And I found it excellent. It deals a lot with the horses meaning so many different things, literally meaning horses, horses come through in and out of the poems as ghosts of ancestors, as people living in cities, but haunted by sort of this connection to the earth that they don't have right now. So the horses are ghostly. They represent more than you can ever imagine through this collection. So I recommend this one if you have enjoyed any other of Joy Harjo's poetry to go back and see this piece. And it was published in 1984. And then the second one that I have today is a poet that I've read little snippets of from the Academy of American Poets. And this poet is Arthur Z. And he won the National Book Award for Poetry for the book that I read, which is actually called Sightlines. He won that in 2019. He's a poet, he's a translator, he's a professor emeritus for the Center of American Indian Arts in New Mexico. And his poetry, again, is, I love to bring things to this podcast that are hard to talk about. And this definitely fits that. Wow. I mean, it's one of those poetry collections where you just sit there and go, oh my gosh, wow. You know, it's a wow collection. And I found this quote, I really liked it. It was from John Tritica, who is a poetry critic. And this is from a Poetry Foundation website. And he says, Z's work has been described as, quote, the intersection of Taoist contemplation, Zen rock gardens, and postmodern experimentation. Okay, so what this collection did for me is it slowed me way down. I mean, this is the kind of work where you have to slow yourself. I had to slow my reading pace down from its regular.
I know what you mean, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yep. If I didn't, I had no idea what I just read. And when I slowed down, it was meditative. It's slow down, pay attention. In these poems, a lichen speaks to us. A lichen has its own poem. Salt has its own poem. These poems feature New Mexico. So many trees, 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 water. The violence in the world that we live in, people that he meets and their lives, little brief meetings with people that infuse into the poems, love, time, the passage of time. In the poems, each line or each couple lines is often something different. So what it is, it's like if you imagine like a city, he's going through all these things happening literally at once, but line at a time. So it's like a prism. You're seeing all these different angles and it just keeps coming at you. It's kind of intense, but in this beautiful way. And there are a couple lines I just wanted to pull out. One that this just to me, this line explains his poetry to me. Suddenly small things ignite. That's how the poems feel. They're igniting. And then another just really lovely piece was, you think you own a car, a house, this blue zigzag shirt, but you just borrow these things. Yesterday, you constructed an aqueduct of dreams and stood at Gibraltar, but you possess nothing. So it's about timelessness, nature, but I could not recommend it more. And also, this is a poet. If you can look up some videos of him reading his work, it's just really excellent to read. So I'm so glad I picked this up. Mm-hmm. And again, from that website, this is where I got the idea to pick him up, and I'm just so glad that I did. So I'm going to continue on with more of his work and slow down. And then bring that attention to my own life when I can. It's a great reminder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So those were the two that I started out with. Mavi, what did you have?
Well, I have been reading a couple poetry books for children. The first one I want to talk about is Hello Earth, Poems to Our Planet. And this is by Joyce Sidman. Joyce Sidman is an American children's author, and I think she's living in Minnesota. She's been nominated for the Newbery Award and, you know, has received other awards too. She writes a lot of excellent poetry about animals and things in the natural world. One of my favorites, and I think yours too, Cheryl, is Swirl by Swirl, Spirals in Nature.
Yeah.
I love that book. But the one that I'm talking about today, it really explores just how vast planet Earth is. And you kind of get invited to explore the nooks and crannies within the nooks and crannies, if you will. It's just, it's really, really neat with the words and the illustrations. And something that I found really interesting was that I think this author commissioned the illustrations before she wrote the poetry. So I thought that was really cool, because usually it seems like it's the other way around.
Yeah.
So anyway, one of my favorite poems from the book is called Fiery. It says, sometimes your hot insides squeeze up through hidden cracks and explode. How does it feel, Earth, to have parts of you erupt like a new tooth? Just neat pictures of how the Earth behaves and displays itself. It's just, I really, really enjoy it. So I think I what I really like about it, at least for children, is that it really, you know, gets us to think about scientific theories about Earth. And then also, you know, conservation for the sake of our planet. And I don't know, I really thought that it was just a really stunning, stunning work. And one that you could, you know, read over and over or talk about. Like, I mean, I think there's maybe, I want to say 22 poems, but I could be wrong. Where you could like take one a day and just really talk about so many things inside.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not sure if I just said this about the back matter. That section is really good too. And a lot of nonfiction books come that way these days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really loved it. Really, really loved it. Oh. So I really was very interested in what you were saying in the beginning part of your talking, Cheryl, because I have been thinking a lot about like, what is the purpose of poetry? And I feel like in some ways it's really, you know, to startle the reader into like being, oh, you know, experiencing something, and having, you know, I don't know, getting to feel something inside. Do you guys agree or no? What do you think?
I definitely feel like that often happens. Yeah. I mean, yes. I don't know if it's always the intent, but yeah, sometimes.
I would say it's definitely to make people feel and think.
Yeah.
Not necessarily always meant to be jarring, but it certainly can be. And certainly people do aim for that.
Yeah. Best word, but sort of like,
oh, well, sometimes
surprise
it is.
Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say that sometimes I'm just kind of, meh, you know, I'm not feeling it in this poetry. And I really appreciated your introduction, Cheryl, because there have definitely been a lot of times when I've felt a very deep connection with what I'm reading.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I get this feeling and I want to save it and remember it. And it just doesn't always happen. Right. So when it does, I'm like, wow, that was tremendous. That's great.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the other book of poetry I want to mention, it's a really fun title. It's A Hatful of Dragons and More Than 13.8 Billion Other Funny Poems, by Vikram. I want to say Madan, or it might be Maiden. And he's an artist and a poet based in Seattle. And you'll have to really investigate it, as you know, to figure out the 13.8 billion part. But anyway, some of the reviews have described the book as loopy. I really love that word loopy. It's just such a silly, fun word. Taxi Crab was definitely my most favorite of the poems in the book, because like a tongue twister. And of course, I just love singing and saying tongue twisters. And I think a lot of kids do too. A crabber and a crabby crab sat eating cabbage in a cab when suddenly the crabber grabbed the cabbage from the crabby crab. But there's just all sorts of fun poems. There's one in there about singing yum yum food to the tune of Jingle Bells. And you really do get this feeling inside of various foods that you consider yummy. I did anyway. So yeah, this was actually published in 2020. And I just picked it up not long ago and have been going through it. So, wow. So Jessica, what's up with you?
I've got a couple that I want to start with. I didn't bring a whole lot of them, but I come at poetry kind of from a different route. I did want to write it. I enjoyed writing it. I am not an English, was not an English major, but I really loved writing when I was in school. And again, some calls to you, some doesn't. That's mm-hmm. just normal to me. That always made sense. And sometimes things just work out in a weird, perfect way. Mm-hmm. My first collection that I want to talk about, there is literally one day I've driven into work during the morning rush listening to the radio this year. And it was last week. And they had an interview with the poet Raymond Nantrobus and for his new book, The Perseverance. I was just enthralled by the article and I really wanted to read the book. It's very, and it was something I could get pretty quickly. We had it in Overdrive. It came out on Tuesday. And I got it first. It was very neat. The way timing just worked out perfect.
Yeah.
But it's, and I will post the link to the NPR article in the show notes, but he is half Jamaican. His mother is half English. He's raised in London and he is deaf. So a lot of his poetry is sort of dealing with the intersectionality of his identity. Mm-hmm. And so just purely on my background, the like mixed cultural background is always going to be something that calls to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the half Jamaican, half English, which are you conversation that multiracial children have to deal with. It comes out in that, but there's that also the moments of, and the poems deal with kind of all sorts of topics. There is the relationship with his father, which was not always comfortable. There's the, you know, being deaf in a hearing world. There's just so many pieces caught me. There are things like, there is actually a poem entitled Dear Hearing World, where he talks about how we cut people out, whether intentionally or not. There is a piece that is, in its own way, it's noisy. It's called Miami Airport, and it's as if it's sort of the one-sided conversation of airport security or TSA, who can't understand why you didn't stop, why didn't you hear us, why are you doing this, why you don't look deaf, you don't, you know, it's that listing of, you know, you don't, you're already in a place that's so overwhelmingly loud and busy trying to navigate. And then you've got this on top of it, because he's not, obviously he does not look like a normal Brit. And I don't mean normal in the, I mean, he's not a white man. So it's very easy to pull him off into a TSA check. Add to that, he's deaf and he's, you know, he's a light skinned black man. It is just jarring and really interesting and really made you think. So that was, you know, I would say it's not a long collection. It's something I think a lot of people should read. There are some things that allude to politics in the United States. There are things that are really look at politics in Britain. I was and there's a bit of history thrown in the and matter and discussion, and it's just an interesting, that very interesting interview with another poet at the end as well. It's just an interesting collection that I think people should check out.
Sounds good.
The other one I listened to, and this sort of goes a little bit with what Cheryl was saying, is Finna by Nate Marshall. I listened to that. So Nate Marshall is a young award-winning author, editor, poet, playwright, rapper, performer. I mean, he's a spoken word poet. I started it in print and then thought, oh no, I want to go back. There is an audiobook of this. I'm going to listen to that. I don't know kind of how to pull this one down to, it's themes of legacy. How do you become the person that you become? And it kind of goes back to, there's a recurring poem title, and that there are other Nate Marshalls out there. It's a common name. He's looked up other Nate Marshalls out of curiosity. And he's become a little bit fixated on one of the Nate Marshalls, because again, this Nate Marshall is a young award-winning Black author, editor, poet, playwright, rapper, etc. The other one is a member of the KKK. There are ones that have been killed. There are ones that do acoustic music. There are, you know, and it's sort of looking around at how did he become this Nate Marshall? And there's a recurring theme of Nate Marshall origin stories. But it's also just such a really, really interesting look at language itself. I had to really kind of think, because one of the quotes that really got me about it was something from Roxane Gay. And she said, readers are going to say these poems are raw, but they aren't. They're elegantly and precisely crafted, frank and full of realness about Blackness, masculinity, family, and Chicago. It's a really, really interesting exploration of language, and really thoughtful. Looking at how language is used. I mean, and things going back to the title even. One of the poems is called Finna is Not a Word. And another poem is called Finna, and it sort of explains the history of that word. But it's just really quite an interesting collection, and definitely something to listen to.
Yeah.
There was one poem in there that you really have to listen to it. Reading it does not do it any justice. It's one I would highly recommend for people to pick up.
Wow. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Hearing you talk about this, I feel like I have to mention Dinez Smith. His work, Homie, has been getting a lot of acclaim. If you get a chance to listen to him read some of his poems, wow.
And a few of these poems are in honor of Dinez. Just
oh, really?
Say.
Okay. Yes, okay.
They literally say that.
Wow. Passion, immediacy. It's an experience. So powerful. So
what else is on your list?
Well, I just have a few other collections. It was hard, really hard to choose. You know, there's so much that comes out. It was hard. And I went back and forth on this one, but I decided to stick with it. It is Together in a Sudden Strangeness, America's Poets Respond to the Pandemic. And it's edited by Alice Quinn. And we've talked a little bit, I think on the podcast, but definitely outside of it, about sort of, do you want to lean into this or not?
Yes.
So if you don't want to lean in, you might want to skip this one, seriously. but if you're okay with it, it is really excellent. And what I love about collections like this, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast for sure, these are such a great springboard out into, oh, I really liked that. Who is that? You know,
yes,
and then you can dig
very
in
much.
And go farther. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And I think if you're newer to poetry, or if you're looking for something new, this is a great place to look. These are all responses to the pandemic, every one of them. And so there's some seriousness, some beautiful, poignant poems, really bring a tear to the eye, seriously. Really powerful. Also a lot, some humor, you know, that that I think a lot of people can possibly relate to some self-deprecating humor just about the whole situation. And some of the contributor list is huge. Some excellent poems in here by Jericho Brown. I loved that one. That probably was my favorite. Michael Zapruder, Ellen Bass, John Freeman, Sharon Olds, Tommy Orange. It goes on and on. Ada Limón. So many wonderful works in here. And I just recommend if you are willing to lean in to pick this up, it was excellent. And I again picked up some new poets that I didn't know about from this collection, and have now want to dig into their work and see what else they have. Another piece that I'm going to bring up today, again, I found this one through, I think, Instagram, because I follow a lot of my favorite poets on Instagram, and I can't remember who, because I couldn't find the posted about this book when it came out. This is also a new 2020 release. It's called Cardinal by Tyree Day. And we sort of talked a little bit about, you know, why do you come to poetry and how does it make you feel? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Every one of these collections has such different energy. It's so interesting. And the yes. energy, yeah, isn't that amazing? Yes. I think about the energy, I mean, Dinesh Smith in particular. I mean, the energy is just so high and such passion. The energy on this collection, and I did it last, and I want to spend a little time on it. It was so, it brought you right down. It slowed you down again, but not in this prismatic way like Arthur Z. This is like, pull up a chair. I want to talk to you. That's how I felt. I felt like the author was doing that with me. Tyree Day, is beautiful. He's born in North Carolina. And these poems are about the Great Migration, but on a very intimate level. And they're about his migration, you know, leaving home. And I really felt like I was sitting with him, and he was telling me about his family and the land, literally the land, fields, so much recurring imagery about fields, about, his ancestors, working fields, but about people being buried under fields. There's some grief, but it's not about sadness. This poetry is about, grandmothers, family, his mother, his uncles, people that he's lost, and how does he move forward with his life, move away from North Carolina, start his own life, and carry these people, especially those who have died, with him. And the imagery of the birds, and of course, his title poem is Cardinal, but that cardinal and birds go in and out of all the poems. And the imagery about the birds sort of lodging inside of him, and that's sort of where he can call upon his ancestors and his relatives that he doesn't have with him anymore. It's really beautiful collection, very intimate and very kind of vulnerable, and you're just right there with him in each poem. Accessibility-wise, it was extremely accessible. I felt like he just opened the door, you know, and you just walk right into these poems and you're right there. I really enjoyed this. It's Cardinal by Tyree Day.
Yeah. Nice. So the other one I wanted to mention, it's called Mexique, A Refugee Story from the Spanish Civil War. This is by Maria Jose Ferrada. She's and illustrated actually by Ana Peñas. I think I'm saying her name right. Ferrada is a Chilean author and a journalist too. And this is a picture book that kind of reads a little bit like poetry. It's kind of an ode a bit to like just a group of children. I think there were 436 or something like that, who boarded a boat in Spain back in 1937. And they were being sent away. They ended up landing in a port in Veracruz, Mexico. And they were sent away for safety reasons. And this was during the Spanish Civil War. And I have to say, it was a really grim book. I'm like, wow, this doesn't seem like a children's book. But the prose the first time really got me. But when I read it again, it was the illustrations that really really kind of haunting. And what Ana Peñas did was she took some of the photos from that time period, whether or not they're really from that like event of the boat sailing away, I'm not sure, but she took some of the photos and mixed them by adding some of her own black and white and pops of color in the illustrations. Mm. And even though, you know, this happened like 84 years ago, it was a very trying time in Spain. That's not the only group of children that was sent away. You know, basically there was a group of people that wanted to have, you know, democracy or kind of being ruled by the people. And then there was the General Franco part where, you know, they were kind of interested in having Spain ruled by kings and priests. So there was this conflict. And of course it was before World War II, but it just really got me because you think about a lot of children who are just caught in the middle of fleeing places that are unsafe or, you know, not enough, whatever. And the thing that is really kind of sad or lamentable is that many of the children that were sent away in this particular story never got to go back to Spain. In fact, they never got to be reunited with their family for one reason or another. So you learn a lot about, you think a lot about what children may be going through when they're, you know, sent away, you know, thinking that they're, you know, in the beginning of the book, they're like, it's just a little bit, it's just going to be for like a little extra long summer vacation. It's not going to be long, but so many things happen. From the perspective of history, I would have liked it if, you know, Ferrada would have like actually included some historical, like real people's names and, you know, their descendants and where they're at now and, you know, something like that. But that was not really included. So it is considered a historical fiction book, very intense. I also read it in Spanish, which I thought I would really, really like, but I'm afraid I didn't really get it as much as when I read it in English. So it was originally written in Spanish.
Sure. I have one last collection that I wanted to talk about. And it actually may be kind of, in a way, the flip side to Together in a Sudden Strangeness. And that is How to Love the World, Poems of Gratitude and Hope, edited by James Cruz. Again, it's one of those nice collections that can introduce you to new authors, new artists. And it's, this was, he opens up the collection, his introduction relates the story of one of those, everybody has them, one of those mornings where it was just a dark morning. He was just in a bad mood. He was just cranky. He usually loves mornings. For some reason, this one just was not going the way he wanted to. And he, you know, he tells this kind of silly story of, you know, butter that's too hard and he breaks a hole in his toast and he's just grumbling about it. And yes, exactly. And he looks at his husband and his husband just smiles at him and says, "Are you happy to be alive today?" Huh. And it stops him. It just stops him cold because it just sort of makes, it knocks him back and makes him think. And this is sort of, it's a collection of poems focusing on the good. Even if, you know, the world is falling to pieces around you, it's finding those bits of things you can grab onto, moments of joy, moments of gratitude. And it's a star-studded group of writers. It includes Ted Kooser, Ross Gay, Amanda Gorman is in there, Joy Harjo, Naomi Shahab Nye, Jack Riddle, who's a Hope College professor, Tracy K. Smith. It's just, and it's also, I mean, it feels a bit like celebrating maybe the pieces that appeal to me most. They feel like those moments, just celebrating those stolen moments. I've actually been listening a bit to Brené Brown's Unlocking Us podcast. And she has a set of rapid fire questions that she asks her guests at the end of the interviews. One of my favorite questions is, give us a snapshot, a moment in your life that brings you great joy. This is full of those moments. Nice. And it's not always the happiest. It's those things you want to hold on to, those moments, those snapshots that will help you through.
Yeah.
Things that make you mindful, one of the poems is of father waking up early. He never gets up early, but he surprises his daughter who's pretending she has a peg leg and getting ready to surprise him with breakfast. And it's just a moment out of time. Yeah. He's like, how did you lose your leg? And, you know, it got shot off. I'm like, okay. And she's, you know, peg leg pirate type. I mean, it's that kind of, she's also just going away and the kitchen making pancakes for him. It's a nicely put together book. And to be fair, I've really only looked at the ebook, but I really would love to get my hands on the physical book eventually. But it has sort of pauses in the text to reflect on something that's themes that have come up. It asks, you know, there are writing prompts if you want to use them. And at the end, there's a really serious like reading group questions and topics for discussion as well. So it's a nice book that can be used a lot of different ways as well.
Nice. Is it also in audio in Hoopla or no?
That one, I have only seen as an ebook.
Okay.
Ebook, yeah.
Like one to check out for sure.
That's where we are, I think, with poetry.
Yeah.
Cool. And I've got more that I want to read now. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah, thank you.
A bit more that I want to read. I don't have time for this. You guys are a bad influence on my TBR.
Always happens.
Always happens. So what else? Are there a couple other titles that you wanted to talk about? Did we move beyond? I know there is one that Mari wants to talk about because...
Well, I'm just going to mention quickly.
Go ahead.
It is the season of celebration and remembering.
Okay.
So, yeah, last week was Passover, and I think earlier this week, Holi. It's a Hindu tradition or celebration, welcoming spring with colors and things. And, of course, this weekend is Easter. Happy Easter, anyone who is celebrating. The book I have, it's called I Am the Tree of Life, my Jewish yoga book. It's by Rabbi Michael Copeland and illustrated by Andre Seelen. And it is a beautiful, beautiful book. It did win, Sydney Taylor. Well, it was a silver medalist, really. One of the silver medalists for picture books this year. And that's by the Jewish Library Association that puts out that award. But this is a beautiful story because it's not really a story. It's kind of like every page is like a spread of a yoga pose. And then on the opposite side is a story from the Torah or what some people consider the Old Testament. Really beautiful, beautiful, just images of, you know, there's this one that I recognized. I didn't think of it as a yoga pose, but maybe it is. It's called the boat pose. And I recognized it from Pilates. And
yep, definitely like, a yoga pose.
Yeah, where you like kind of lift your legs up and you're sort of rocking. I am the ark that saved Noah. So there's like a little snippet of a Torah story on one side and then exact instructions on how to do the yoga pose.
Oh, that's beautiful. Interesting.
Really beautiful. And what I liked is that, you know, the rabbi, she's, I think, based in San Francisco. She's, you know, the Torah is often referred to as the tree of life, right? It's called the tree of life. And just like a tree, we're always changing, we're always growing, stretching. The Torah's ideas, you know, are things that can help us facilitate change and growth. So I really enjoyed it. And we'll consider reading it and doing the yoga poses.
Mm-hmm. So another title we wanted to talk about, I held this one last month because I knew Mari hadn't gotten it yet. But I really, really have been dying to talk about Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley.
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm so almost done. I am just riveted. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And what's funny is that I feel like I'm blabbing a lot because I'm so excited, but I've made myself not read like other people's impressions of it and no NPR, no...
Yep. Yep.
I'm live or anybody else who's talking about it. I just want to finish the book and then maybe later I'll read what other people said. But I just really like it. So I want to hear what you have to say though, Jessica, please. Well,
so this is a debut, Michigan author, set in Northern Michigan. There's so much going on in it. It's a coming of age story, but it's also a kind of high stakes mystery. That it's pulling the reader into the ups and downs of life on and off the Ojibwe reservation in northern Michigan.
Yeah.
So it features, it's Donis Fontaine is sort of in between. She's a child of a white mother and an Ojibwe father. She isn't named, her father isn't named on her birth certificate. So by tribal law, she actually is not part of, she can't be registered as a member of the tribe without outside effort. And she's just graduated. She's making this kind of break. And you don't really know why from the beginning. She had dreams of becoming a hockey star. She is a hockey star. She's a fabulous hockey player. She had dreams of playing for U of M's team. But she also has plans to become a doctor. She's just getting ready to start her life when this summer happens, and it just upends her world in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just a particular violent event changes the course of her life, and as an aside, and as you know, both an aside and a major part of the story, she's pulled into an investigation that's really going to rock her community as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's you know, it deals with the issues of addiction, both on and off reservations. It deals with a lot of really interesting Ojibwe culture. It's just a real, and it's, you know, it pulled me in right from the beginning. I love that writing.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. I have liked it because it really like forces you to think about like parallels in your own life, if you have any, regarding relationships to family members. And, you know, all these, you know, issues of, you know, wanting your parent or your grandparent to get you in some way, or you want them to explore something in their own personal being. And I really, like I said, just like glued to my bed when I'm reading it. I just love it. So I'm planning to finish it this weekend. But the other thing that I love about this book, and I think I would imagine this happens to everyone when they're reading about characters set in their own state.
Mm-hmm.
I just end up feeling like, oh, I've never been up, you know, to the Sioux.
Yes.
Like, I want to go up there now. I want to spend a year living there and find out what it's like. And, you know, it just stirs up so much curiosity.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, the reservation life culture. Like, I knew that there were reservations in Michigan, and just haven't thought that much about what that's like, what that means. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been really, really interesting. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those, I'm hoping it gets all kinds of recognition. I already know. I mean, it's been optioned by Higher Ground, which is the Obama's media company, TV or movie, I'm not sure which. It was one of the biggest signings. I mean, we knew about this maybe a year and a half out.
Yeah.
We were kind of talking about this. And the fact that it's you know, it's finally here, it's that good. I totally get the hype. It is that good. So it's just, I really enjoyed it. And yes, I also, you know, it's like, I haven't been up there either. I need to.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, because I'm going to be an evangelist for this book. All over the place.
Right.
All right. It's been lovely talking with you all.
Yes. As well.
And we'll be back next month.
All right.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Dee Dee in the Morning with Dee Dee's weekly download from Capital Area District Libraries. This week's title is More Than Enough, Claiming Space for Who You Are, No Matter What They Say, by Elaine Welteroth. The media trailblazer and former Teen Vogue editor inspires with her story of self-empowerment and breaking barriers. To download or stream this or other featured titles, visit cadl.org/Dee Dee.
Stacks 92.1.